is a heavy and vulnerable conversation to have. This platform is a safe place for all individuals to come share their life's journeys of surviving grief without judgment.
I'd like to welcome you to the QT Surviving Grief Podcast. My name is Tiffany Ware, and I am the podcast host. And today, I have a very special lady with me. I met her, probably my early remembrances of us being in pageants together here in Columbia, Tennessee. And she's actually my best friend's cousin. So I would like to introduce to you guys Miss Tia Alderson. Hi, Tia.
Hello, Tiffany. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. It's the yes. Nice, beautiful Sunday. So we're making it.
Yes.
We're here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. I love Sundays. Those are my favorite days.
Yes, yes. A good day to refresh. And it's, when you think about it, it's really like the top of the week. Like Monday is not the top. It's always Sunday. So I 100% agree with you there.
Absolutely.
Well, Tia, I just want to thank you for coming on today. As you know, one thing I always like to do is to do a quick icebreaker. Because as you know, Quentin, I know your father is Quentin's godfather. So you are Quentin's god sister. Of course, he was always silly. So I always like to start our conversations kind of light with the icebreaker question. And so luckily, I was thinking, what can I ask Tia? So I thought about this one. I mentioned the pageants we were a part of. When you were modeling, what was your favorite contest and pageants to participate in? What was your favorite contest?
The talent.
The talent. Oh, I like
that. It was the talent because I remember we were in a pageant one time at Columbia State. Do you remember?
Yes, Miss Image.
Yes. And I done a monologue.
Okay.
Yes. I will not do it now. However, that was my favorite though. That was my favorite because it had meaning behind that monologue. And being younger, I didn't really understand then, but as I grew, you know, and aged and thought about it, yes. So it would be the talent.
Gotcha. It's funny you say that. That was my talent for that when I ended up being Little Miss Image. I was ended up being the queen that year. And I did one on this poem called I'm the Black Child. And it was so long, such a long poem. But yeah, the talent is always good because you get to see that person and get to know who they are and their talent. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
I thought it took you back a little bit, a little back in time.
It did. But that's okay.
Yes. It's always good to be able to reminisce on those good times. So
yes, absolutely.
Yes. Okay, Miss Tia. So I want you to tell the people, tell our audience, who is Tia Alderson? Just a little background, where you're from, any credentials you hold, what you do, career-wise, anything you want to share. Let people know.
Okay.
Who you are.
First and foremost, I am a child of the creator of all things. That's absolutely first. It has to be first in my life. And then second, I was born to teenage parents in 1975. My mom and dad were 16 when they had me. So I kind of grew up right alongside of them. And when I was young until now, they've both loved me unconditionally. And let's see what else. I am an only child. No, I am not spoiled. Everybody always wants to say that when you're an only child, so you're spoiled. That is not true. I'm grateful. let's see. As a young girl, I found joy in softball. That was my favorite sport. I played softball for a long time. Do you remember the Riverside softball fields?
Yes, I do. Okay. A little bit. I was young. Yes. Yeah.
So I started there.
Okay.
And then I played for Central, and then I played for Columbia State, and I played for co-ed. And then when, as we became adults, they had a league at Fairview Park, and then I played there too. So probably 8 years old up until about 36.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I done that. I think I just loved most about it, the competitiveness, the discipline, however, the freedom that it gave me.
Okay.
So that's why, that's exactly why I loved it. Something else about me, I love music. I love dance. Music feeds my soul. Mm-hmm. I love the stories that music tell. I love the beginning, the middle, the end, the beat, the sound. Mm-hmm. I love instruments. Let's see what else. When I was 13, I was baptized. Elder Frank Dow was the pastor that baptized me. And then in 2011, I changed my membership to Grace United with Pastor Carrie Dwayne James.
Okay.
So as far as career, I am now a social worker for TSAP, which is Tennessee Child Support Employment Parenting Program. Let me correct that because that's not absolutely official yet, but it is definitely in the process because I'm attending University of Tennessee Knoxville to complete my bachelor's and master's in social work. So I'm doing that right now. Yes. So I have one more year and then I'll be done with my bachelor's and then I'll go right into my master's. So the actual title is coordinator. So I'm a coordinator for Middle Tennessee. The jurisdictions are Williamson, Hickman, Lewis, and Perry counties. So what I do is I advocate, support, and assist for non-custodial parents who have been ordered by court to pay child support. I just meet them where they are. Whatever it is that they need support in, my position is to advocate, support, and assist. So that's what I do. I absolutely love it. Because one of my passions is to help people. I love to help people. So that's what I do now. And then I am a mom. So I have two boys, Landon and Lathan. Landon is 12. Lathan is 8. I can't believe it, but Landon will be 13 in May. And Lathan will be 9 in September. Yes, time flies. It really does. But that's it really. I mean, in a nutshell.
That was good, Tia. I didn't even know you was athletic. I didn't know that you were into softball. So I definitely learned something new today.
Played for a long time.
And I like how a lot of the things you talked about was, you know, you're the you like being of service, even in your current, you know, career field, you know, you're being of service and helping others. And, which is one reason we're really here today is to, you know, delve into grief and what grief looks like, not only with death, but also with life circumstances that happen. So, I appreciate you giving that introduction. That was amazing.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess, Tia, we're going to delve into, we're going to start with the grief topic. I know when I talked to you early on, there were several women in your life that had transitioned that you wanted to just kind of tell us a little bit about. And it was your grandmother, great-grandmother, a best friend, and then your son's grandmother. Am I correct about that?
Yes,
I thought that was it. And so, I just want to open up this space for you to kind of give a little bit about those ladies, and then we'll get into some more detailed questions about them.
Okay. So I feel like I carry the legacy of four incredible women who helped to shape and mold me. First and foremost, Letitia Harris. That is my mother's grandmother. Okay, so we used to call her Granny. she didn't play any games. love this lady to pieces. She was our matriarch of our family. She was strict, but wise. A lot of my knowledge and things that I learned came from her, like how to cook in a cast iron skillet, you know, at a young age. I had no idea about cooking, didn't even know what a cast iron skillet was. However, yes, she taught me that. I do remember she had fallen one time and hurt her leg, and it was very difficult for her to get around, to be mobile. But that didn't stop her. She knew everything that went on. It did not make a bit of difference. And we always wondered, like, how did Granny know that? She wasn't there. How did she know? You know, when you're young, you don't know those things, right? You're curious, right. Like, how do they know? How does she know? So that was one good thing about her. She always kept us in line. You know, you had those manners. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Please. Thank you. May I have? You didn't just go, you know, into someone's house and not speak.
Right. That's right.
If you did, you knew she would definitely correct you. Okay. With love, though, you know, with love, but you definitely knew. She was also the type of lady, she handled her business. Not like now where, you know, you fill out all these papers or you fill out all these applications online and that's how you deal with credit or getting a line of credit. You could go to Middle Tennessee Bank uptown and say her name. You know, talk about credibility.
Yeah.
And yes, we know Miss Letitia, you know, like Aiken's Market. You probably don't remember Aiken's Market.
I've heard of it, but no. Yeah.
Which is where Visions is right now. But yes, that was Aiken's Market. She'd send us up there. You know, we didn't have to have cash to go up there. She'd give us a list. This is what I want for the house. This is what I need for y'all. You know, and we got it. They flipped through the little Rolodex and write off whatever they wrote. And like I'm talking about a very, very special lady to me. And in the 90s, she passed, but she was older. She lived for decades, you know, but that doesn't stop. How we feel, you know, missing her and wishing that she was here and, you know, the guidance, the discipline, her strength, the love, you know, I still miss it till this day. And I talk to Landon and Lathan about her all the time. And I tell them, cause I know like she didn't play about babies, you know, you, you got up and you clean that baby, you feed that baby, you, you know, that, that was her. Like you better not let that baby cry, you know, those types of things. So yes, we definitely miss her. All of our family do, but, she was one incredible woman that I miss. And, I still grieve her, but not in a sad way, because I know without a shadow of a doubt, she's with our Lord and Savior. I know that she is. You were going to church, you know, and White Springs United Primitive Baptist, you know, you washing feet and all that. So that's how, that's right. That's how she raised us. So I miss her. And then her daughter, which is Mary Elizabeth, which is my mom's mom. She helped to raise me because again, my mom and my dad, they were teenage parents. So me and my mom lived with her mom and her dad, you know, when I was, you know, younger and a baby. And she was quiet, loving, generous, would give you the shirt off of her back. However, her and her mom were like night and day as to where Granny, you know, you know, she was going to let you know. And then my other grandmother, she didn't take nothing. However, she was more quiet, you know, about things. She will let you know, though. Like, she was the type, you know, I don't condone certain things. However, you are going to take up for yourself, you know, that type of thing. So, yes. And one of the sweetest memories that I have with her is every holiday, we would always listen to her favorite song, Misty Blues. That was her favorite song. So, yes. So what I do now during holidays, and she left, let's see, she passed, it was in 2020.
Oh, yes, okay.
2020.
Recent.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I play Misty Blues, I called her Nettie, and the rest of our family called her grandmother. And I would say, "All right, Nettie, here's your song." You know, so just little things like that, which I use as coping skills. Yeah. When it goes to cooking and going back to Granny Letitia, what she taught me to cook in a black cast iron skillet was eggs. And, you know, you use a spoon, you don't use a fork, because that's how you make them fluffy. You know, small things like that may not mean something to somebody else. It means everything to me, because that's what she taught me. So I teach Landon and Lathan those things, and I talk to them about those things because they are important to me and they mean something to me. And those are my sweet memories of them. And then Topeka Whitson, which is another one, she was not only one of my best friends, but she was like my sister. Okay. Her birthday, January the 21st, 1975. So she's 12175. Well, mine is September 21st, 1975. So I'm 92175. So that was something that we always, you know, conversed about. We always had a conversation about. And, she definitely kept me grounded, had an old soul. We were about the same age, but she had an old soul. I remember the first time we had kind of hung out or whatever, and she made the comment. Well, me, I just said that I was hungry. Well, she made the comment she was going to get her some vittles. And I'm like, vittles? What's vittles, you know? So, yes. Love it. But, Heart of Gold. She always reminded me to keep my feet planted on the ground, stay grounded, slow down, think before you act. Just things like that, you know. She always let me know things will come to you. Like, you don't have to chase or, you know, things like that. Just slow down, you know, take a step back. Yes. So I appreciate, and I told her all the time, like, I appreciate you for that, you know. Like, she definitely kept me grounded. I miss her. And for her and myself to be same age, and she's not here, that was definitely a reality check. She was sick, you know. She had cancer and had surgeries and, you know, and those things, and got rid of it. It come back. And I remember she wrote me a letter. I didn't even know that she wrote this letter. And then when she passed, her mom called me and asked me to come over, that she has something for me that was really important. And so I did. And that's what she gave me. A letter. I mean, a 2-page letter. Like, how she felt about me. And I was one of the best people in her life. And how she loved me. And there was things that we talked about. And it was only just me and her. And just love. Like, she just had so much love for people. Mm-hmm. And she took care of a lot of people. She really did. Okay. Our conversations was she was going to pick turnip greens and, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
when I say old soul, I mean old soul. Old soul. Do you hear me? Yeah. And I loved every bit of it. So
yeah.
just a loving, generous, young woman. And then Nana, which is Velma Larry, that is Landon's okay. grandmother. That's his dad's mom.
Okay.
And, I didn't meet her until 2004.
Okay.
And so, met her in 2004 and I just remember her words, always do the right thing. She always said that to everybody, always do the right thing. And, same way, generous, loving, love to laugh, love to cook. She's not just going to cook for one person. I mean, she's going to cook for 50. And if 50 more, you know, are in her pathway, she's offering them a plate too, you know. And miss her. Okay. Mm-hmm. But she passed. It's, you know, been a few years too now. But
yeah,
miss her too. There was times where it was just me and her. You know, mm-hmm. it was just me and her. And she helped me with a lot of things. And I helped her with a lot of things, too. But she was like a second mother to me. And I was like a second daughter to her, you know. Gotcha. So, but yes, miss her, too. So all four of them had some type of effect on me when they passed. It was very difficult when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
However, I still talk to my children, you know, about all the good things with them,
right.
you know, and they know, even though they did not get to meet Granny, they met the other three. And they know that they love them without a shadow of a doubt, and felt the warmth, felt the love, you know, and how good these women, you know, were to them. And so, yes.
Yeah, I see. I like how each one of those ladies had what was influential in your life in a, you know, a certain way. You know, you talked a lot about how, you know, your, you know, Granny was more like business minded, like this is how it is, outspoken. Mm-hmm. But then your grandmother on the other hand, like a little more quiet, but you knew and you went through cooking. You just taught me something about the eggs and the spoon. Did not know that. And then how, you know, Topeka really did, you know, show you the importance probably of like self-care and just like staying rooted, staying grounded and the importance of it. And then on up through Landon's grandmother, you know, the relationship you had with her and how special that was. And I always say when, you know, families merge like that and you become someone else's, you know, daughter, second daughter, bonus daughter or bonus mother, or, you know, that's major.
Yes.
And it shows the relationship and how that merge just creates, you know, a good relationship. And, you know, you can really be influential in a person's life when that happens.
Yes.
So thank you for sharing a little bit about all four of those ladies. Let me ask you this. Of everything you just named to me, what is something that you, what's one thing that you would take from what you learned from those four to put into Landon and Lathan? Like, what values did they have that you would, you're going to be sure you kind of instill in them?
So first and foremost, every last one of them loved the Lord.
Okay.
Every last one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They all taught me different things, but the end result, they love the Lord. Every last one of them.
Gotcha.
So with that being said, I have already instilled that into them.
Yeah.
Because I want them to know that he's a provider.
That's right.
You know, he's the way out of no way. You know, those toys that you got, mm-hmm. that was God that did that. You know, when you go to Disney World, that was God that did that. He allowed mama, you know, or daddy, you know, to allow us to work, you know, to make the money so that you can go. You know, if it wasn't for that, then you wouldn't have the things that you have. You wouldn't be able to go to SeaWorld. You would, I mean, and I'm just naming things that are important to them because they're children, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So they don't care about house note and mortgage and the car you sell to the shop. And they don't care about that. They care about the amusement park.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
And yes, and they care about going to Target to get a toy and you know, Cub Scouts and things like that. So I just let them know the reason you get to be in Cub Scouts is because God provided a way for to be able to be in Cub Scouts. You know, your uniform wasn't free. Like he allowed, you know, to have me to have employment.
Right, right.
To make money to purchase it. You know what I'm saying? So I teach them that. Yeah. Like, I can't just go to the store, like with Landon, like he wants his Skittles, you know? Okay, well,
I'm
you gotta have money to go to the store to get Skittles. You know, like I can't just go to the store to get Skittles, like you have to purchase them.
That's
God did that.
Yeah,
he allowed me to have those $2 to go in there to get your Skittles. So I just try my best to instill that in them. And I'm glad you asked that too, because I just want to share.
Yeah.
So next Sunday, March the 30th, Landon and Lathan are being baptized.
Oh, wow, Tia.
Yes, they are. They sure are.
Oh. Mm-hmm. It's such a blessing.
So, yes, I'm definitely trying with them, but I give all praises to God because I'm going to tell you, Tiffany, life be lifing.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, and grief plays a major, major part, you know, in it. And it gets really challenging. It gets really hard. And when grief comes about, you know, when things happen like that, you have to be intentional.
Yes, you do.
You have to be. You know, when you don't feel good, you still have to do things. When you don't want to, you still have to do things. So for me, I have to put my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first. Then it's me. Then it's my children. And everything else falls in place. I have to do it that way. Because if I don't, I'm going to tell you, I'd be, I don't know where I'd be.
Yeah.
I don't know where
I'd be. I understand, Tia,
I don't, I mean, I really don't. I thank him for sanity. I thank him for allowing me to be in my right mind.
That's right.
I thank him for giving me wisdom, knowledge, strength. You know, like I am dead serious. So, and I can't be one way 1 minute and then another way another minute. Like, this is my life. You know, this is my lifestyle. Like, I have to do things the way that they are being done because I have to be able to raise my boys. And if I don't have relationship with the Lord first and let him lead me and guide me, then I can't do anything for Landon or Lathan. I can't. I tried. I can't. It doesn't work. When I try on my own, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
Nope. Doesn't work.
Thank you for that reminder, Tia. You know, I think what you did now, you, number one, you just testified and everything you just said is so true. Like, you know, from God, from losing your, you know, feeling like I'm losing my mind and all that, and how you have really built a strong relationship with God, and also being honest to the fact of I tried to do it without him and I can't. No. And how all four of those ladies really instilled, you know, the importance of God, which you're now able to, you know, teach to your sons, and, you know, something like them making a choice to get baptized, like that is major at their age. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it just shows the fruit that you have really produced in them for them to say, Mama, I want to be baptized, or Pastor James, and I know Pastor James is your pastor. You know, I want to be baptized and I want to have a good relationship with God. I want to start building that. So Tia, I appreciate you for sharing that, because it's a reminder to me of even in my own journey of it's time to get that relationship. It's been too long. And you can't handle it on. You can't handle when, like you say, life be life. You can't handle these things on your own. You have to have some type of power. And power comes from God. So I appreciate you for going down that and bringing that out. That was that. I didn't even have that as a question. They don't, but God, for me to even ask you that about the value. And so it's a great segue, Tia, actually, into talking about your boys. I know one thing that has, you know, recently did occur, is your baby boy, his father, Sean Duncan, transitioned. About a year and a half ago, givers hate. And I know that was something, you know, we was going to explore a little bit of today. But I first want to start by wanting to know, how have you dealt with that, you know, with Sean's, you know, untimely passing? Because, you know, it was y'all before Landon, Lathan came. And so, just how have you been doing just as Tia? Not even, we'll get into the mother piece and the boys, but just as, you know, you.
So first, I must say, I have known Sean since I was 8 years old. It's not like I just met him yesterday, day before. No, I was in the second grade and he was in the third grade. So I still remember my teacher, Miss Bowman, his teacher, Miss Poling. Okay. Rough. That was one of the roughest times. Still is. Still is. Unexpected. Definitely unexpected. However, I have to believe that everything happens for a reason. We may not know the reason. Especially if it's God's work. We don't have to know the reason. We just have to trust and believe. Does it make me not have pain or not grieve or not hurt? Nope. Still hurts. Right. Still does. However, definitely unexpected. It was like a slap in the face. Number one, he was only 50 years old. Number two, how am I supposed to raise Lathan without him? He was my friend. Good, bad, and the ugly. Like, it wasn't nothing that we hadn't done. Whether we were in a relationship or not in a relationship, we always were a part of each other's life. Regardless, it didn't matter who he was with. It didn't matter who I was with. It didn't matter if we were together. We were always a part of each other's life. Like, what really done it for me was one day. This was after I went to pick up the phone to call him. I'll never forget it. 931-286-1889, and could not call. Like, it just, because you know when things are so natural?
Oh, yeah, Tia.
And I was like, and then that was not a good day. because that was like reality, right? You know, and I think I was just calling him to say, like, hey, Lathan, I don't know, something with school maybe or something. And baby, you ain't calling him to tell him nothing. So once I had that moment, I just looked up and I said, okay, Sean, this is what I want to tell you, you know. So that's one of the roughest things. Like, not only did I lose a friend, but I lost my son's father. He was one of the ones that taught me, like small things, like a vehicle. You don't want a car note. Save your money. Like, he taught me that. Save your money. Buy your car outright. Then you don't have a car note. All you have to do is just maintenance and insurance. Those types of things. You know, that may not mean something to somebody else, but it means something to me. He taught me that. How to cook too. Grilling. You know, oh, he loved to grill. He loved to cook seafood, jambalaya, taco soup, you know. You need this, this, and this. Like, I remember one time me and him had a competition who could make the best lasagna. You know, so I miss those things. You know? So, how am I, how was I doing then, right then at first? Not good. Not good at all. So many things went through my head. So many things went through my head. The day that Sean passed away, December 28th, 2023, he had been the caretaker of his father. And his father had got up in age and had some health things going on. And Sean was helping to see about him. And it was challenging for Sean because he had never just been a caretaker for somebody. You know, so, you know, things new, it's going to be challenging, right? Because you don't know. But, you know, he had talked to me and, you know, some other people just, you know, to get advice, like, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? You know, so just to sum it up, his dad, he had decided that, you know, to have his dad go to a care facility, a nursing home, and that facility at that time was in Lawrenceburg. So after a little while, he just felt like, I'd rather him be closer. So he had talked to, you know, some more people, nursing staff and family and friends. And the decision was made to bring his dad closer to Columbia. But the only opening was in Mount Pleasant. There was a facility in Mount Pleasant. So we had talked like the night before, which would have been the 27th. And what, you know, what do you think? You know, and he always loved to know what somebody else thought about something. I mean, he made his own decision, but he wanted to know what somebody thought. Right. Okay, fine. No big deal. So he asked, would I ride with him down there the next morning, which was December 28th. So his dad could be moved from Lawrenceburg to Mount Pleasant. Sure. No big deal.
Right.
So, but I had forgot that Landon and Lathan were invited to a birthday party by their friends at the Urban Air in Franklin, in Cool Springs. Right. So, didn't think about it then. I was like, yeah, that's fine. You know, we'll ride with you. So, that morning, his friend's mom, which just so happened, were ladies that I had worked with at in education at Randolph Howe Elementary STEM School. So at this time, I was working for Labor and Workforce Development at the American Job Center with your mom.
Yeah.
So, Sean called about 8 o'clock that morning, about 7:30, 8 o'clock. And he said, well, what time are you going to be ready? And I said, I completely forgot. I said, my bad, Sean. I completely forgot that Landon and Lathan had a birthday party to go to at Urban Air in Cool Springs. He said, well, what time is the party? I said, I think it was at 10. Mm-hmm. Thing was at 10. I said at 10. So it's early enough. And it was going to last a couple hours, maybe like to 11 or 12. I said, so what I'll do is, if you don't mind, first I asked him, I said, do you think we have enough time to go there and come back? I said, because it's 8 o'clock now. And then he was like, they ain't going to wait on you. So we started laughing, you know. And I said, well, I tell you what, we'll go to the party, be there a couple hours. We'll come back. Then we could go down there. He said, okay. Little did I know that was going to be my last time talking to him, right? Okay. On the way there, I don't know, something just kind of came over me a little bit, but I don't know. I couldn't put my finger on it, but we went on. Mm-hmm. And next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call while they're playing with their friends having this birthday party. I get a phone call and the exact words were, Sean just had a wreck. And I'm like, a wreck? They're like, yeah. So I didn't know.
Right.
Then I get a phone call and say that Sean had passed away. Tiffany, I thought I was in the Twilight Zone. Yeah. I just couldn't fathom it. So I'm calling family, I'm calling friends, I'm calling anybody just to tell me that it's not true, because I called him like 20 times and he would not answer the phone. And I'm saying, and I'm outside in front of Urban Air. And I know those people were thinking, what on God's earth has happened to this woman? But I just wanted to know that he was okay. Once I spoke to family and they confirmed, I go back inside and I talk to the two parents that are my friends. Okay. And they consoled me and I got out what I could get out. Yeah. And I went to the bathroom and I remember trying to get myself together. And I was like, I can't tell Landon and Lathan right now, because I've got to drive back to Columbia. So by the grace of God, did that. But they kept saying, Mama, what's wrong? And I said, just hold on, y'all. Let's get home. And I remember praying all the way home. I don't know if I remember the ride. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if I remember the ride, but I know I got from Urban Air to the hospital. So that was that day. And then it was just kind of blank after that. I remember like going there and helping write the obituary to his mom's. And then I remember like the funeral and the wake, but a lot of it is just like a blur. Me, Landon, and Lathan, all of us, therapy, because we had to. We had to have therapy. Together first. And now we're working on doing it separate. So I'll have my own. Landon, I have his own. Lathan, I have his own. You wouldn't think that it would have affected Landon, but it did, because Landon knew Sean since Landon was 2. He's 12. And although he's on the spectrum, I just remember him saying, Mama, Sean's dead. Is he coming back? You know, things like that. Is he in heaven? Where is he? Like, that was hard. That was so hard. So through all of that, and then Lathan asked me, well, why did, you know, and he called him then, Dada, why did Dada, like, what happened? So I explained that he was sick, you know, he had a heart attack, and it happened while he was driving. And I just learned, be honest with them. Oh. Like, don't sweep stuff under the rug. Don't sugarcoat it. Tell them the truth. Let them grieve their own way. Like, and it's not just me. And it's not just Landon. And it's not just Lathan. It's all of his family. All of his friends. You know, that's just like with the four ladies that, you know, transitioned. You know, it's all of their families, all of their friends. Like, I've prayed for everybody because I know how I feel. I can just imagine how they all feel. You know? Yeah, like, it's just rough because it's never in your plan for somebody to transition. I know. But you just, one day they're here, the next day they're gone. So it turned my world upside down. For more than one reason. Like, I've had to adjust. Like, not only with me, but with my boys too. Right. You know, Lathan can't pick the phone up. He talks to his daddy every day, morning, noon, and night, you know?
Yeah.
And now he can't talk to him. So I tell him, he's at the graveyard. We can go there anytime. So we do. We go there, take balloons, take flowers. I'll let them go up there if Lathan wants to play a song for him, if Lathan wants to dance, you know? Like, I try my best to make it comfortable for Lathan, comfortable for Landon, because, and I love how you said how, you know, all these people have played, you know, major roles in their lives, because it is that way. Like, yes, Sean is Lathan's father. You know, me and Sean made Lathan. Me and Vance made Landon. However, both of them will say, Sean's my daddy, Vance is my daddy. You know.
Gotcha.
Nana is our Nana. That's our grandmama too. But she's Landon's grandmama. But she's also Lathan's. You see what I'm saying? And that's I have never separated my boys. Yeah. Like, you go with them, but you can't go with them because that's not your family. No, we've never done that. That's Granny May. That's Sean's mama. She's also Landon's Granny May. You know, Landon calls her Granny May too, right? Yeah. Still to this day. So those things are important to me. Family is important to me.
Yeah,
I don't ever want my babies to feel like an outcast. That's and they're not going to. And that's none of these families have ever done that. They've been good to both of my boys. It's a package deal, you know.
Yeah.
When Sean went and got something for Lathan, he got it for Landon too. When Vance gets something for Landon, he gets it for Lathan too, you know?
Yeah.
It should be that way. Yes.
It should. You should hear more stories like that, honestly. That's amazing. And that all parties are mature enough for it to be that way.
We all have co-parented. Co-parent, like me and Sean co-parent, me and Vance co-parent, you know, like, that's just, regardless of me and them, that's besides the point. The important thing is these children, you know, and I love Vance's other children, and I love Sean's other children. Like, I've never mistreated them. You know, and they respect me and they love me. Same thing. If I see them now, they're gonna, hey Tia, how you doing? Give me a hug. And if I'm by myself, they ask me, where's Landon? Where's Lathan? Yeah. You know, those types of things. Or they text me, how's the boys doing? They don't just ask about one, they ask about both. So that's how Sean's transition affected me. That's why it affected me. That's how it affected us, because he is and was and still is a big part of our life. Yeah. You know, we have a wind chime.
Yeah.
I have to share this.
We have go ahead.
That one of our closest friends gave them. And the wind chime, it hangs on our porch. And it has scriptures on each one, you know, on each chime. Oh, it has scriptures, Bible scriptures. And so I use that as a metaphor. I'm like, okay, Sean's listening to y'all. Because it was given to them on behalf of Sean. So things like that. And then I hear Dada and then Landon. I hear Sean, you know, because as the wind blows, you can hear it. I think it is so sweet. But I let them know he is still here. Like, he may not physically be with y'all, but you can still talk to him. You still love him, you know, and he sees you. He just sees you from heaven.
Yeah.
He's looking down on you. He sees you from heaven. So those are the things that I teach them. Like, I don't want them to believe, well, he's gone. He's never coming back. He don't love us. He doesn't know. Cause that is not the case. You know, it's already hard.
Yeah.
It's already hard. Yeah. So I try my best to make the best of it, not only for me, but for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I like how you, you know, pinned all of that, Tia. And I definitely like the way, you know, like I say, the family works. I like the way you just explained to me about the chimes. Cause that's, you know, you positive reframe that chime thing, even for me.
Yes.
Cause them chimes been thrown somewhere for a little.
Don't throw it. Hang it.
They hang it, but they're not hanging like they should. But I like the way how, you know, you're honoring that memory of Sean for both of the boys, you know, with having it hanging and having them understand it in that way. So thank you for sharing all that, Tia. I know it takes a lot for us to get on these type of platforms and talk about the hardest times of our life. But everything you just mentioned, I know I've definitely felt. So I really appreciate that. I know it's going to help somebody in their journey, you know, that they may be having with their children, you know, if they've had a loss, whether it's a father, a grandmother, grandfather, sibling, you know, whatever that looks like. I like how you really invest in your boys and you invest in making sure that they're okay, you know, physically, mentally, like in all aspects.
Yes. I try prayer. Yeah. Like I always tell them, like, I'm going to always pray for y'all. However, you can pray for yourself. If you feel sad, you just say, God, please help me.
Yeah.
That's it. You have to say it and he will help you, you know, and just know that you're going to be okay, because this is one thing that I learned, Tiffany.
Okay.
Time don't stop.
No, it
does not. Time does not stop.
It don't.
It's going to keep on going. And it's going to be a new day every day.
Yeah.
So am I going to, and I ask myself this, am I going to just sit here and cry every day and be sad every day? Put myself down every day, feel like a failure every day, or am I going to get up, do the best I can, be grateful for what I have and not focus on the things that I don't have. And make the best of it?
Yeah. I like
that. So I got up, dust myself off. Yeah. Yes. Intentional.
Yeah.
I have to be intentional.
You chose life at the end of the day, because it's so easy when, you know, situations like what we're dealing with, it's so easy to go down the rabbit hole and, you know, want to cover up and just, you know, be so completely out the way. But you made a conscious choice to not do that and to live. And like you say, time still goes on. Today at church, that's what the one thing the pastor was talking about, like the old school picture shows, how they had illustrations in the book.
Yes.
And they was like, don't get stuck on page two. Like, like the picture, like the picture book goes, you keep flipping them pages, because it's going to keep going. Life is going to keep going. So
it is.
Thank you for mentioning that. I like that.
It is. And don't get me wrong. I mean, it took some time to get there. However, you still have to be intentional, and it's okay to cry. It's okay. You know, actually they say crying's healthy for you. You get all that out.
Get it out.
But then you say, okay, I got it out. Now what?
That's true.
I got it out. Now what? You know, don't hold it in. And I tell my boys the same thing. If you feel sad, it's okay to cry. You know, just don't hurt yourself
That's
and don't hurt somebody else. Don't hurt yourself. So don't hurt somebody. Yeah. Get it out. If you want to punch a wall, that's fine. We can patch it back up. Yeah. You know, long as you feel better, once you get it out, release it. Mm-hmm. Talk to God, release it, get it out. Now what? What's the resolution? What are you, what's the result that you're looking for? Mm-hmm. Because if you are stuck, that's exactly what's going to happen. And time's going to pass you by. You know, and I don't want to be depressed, sad, in a dark place. I've been there. I know what that is. I don't want to be there. Even before Sean passed away, I know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nah, I choose different. I choose
I choose different. I like that to you. Yeah. You just said a mouthful of stuff, like you just dropping gems, everything you just said, I agree with, you know, like you say, you have to make the conscious choice. You have to be intentional in choosing life and really what you want out of life. And that's a great, I know we've talked a lot about the boys surrounding Sean's death, but one thing I also wanted to talk to you today about, and we talked about before we even came on, was grieving, you know, different, when life throws life at us and how we maneuver that. So I just want to give you opportunity to share your oldest son, Landon. Yep. Share his story with us and how grief kind of ties into a little bit of that experience.
Okay. So first of all, I had to learn grief shows up in different forms. Mm-hmm. Grief is not always because somebody transitioned or passed away, right?
Right.
Sometimes we're grieving and don't know that that's what it is. So let me tell you why I say that.
Okay.
When a woman is carrying a child, and this is my journey, okay?
Okay.
When a woman is carrying a child, you have all these hopes and dreams and, well, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And but lo behold, when a 360 happens and everything that you thought was going to transpire doesn't, it's like a slap in the face. Then you grieve because it's not going to happen. What do I mean by that? Landon was born full term. Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. It wasn't I ate healthy. I drank water. It wasn't no partying and clubbing and, you know, like I done everything that I was supposed to. I stayed away from people. Because I didn't want them to get me sick, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing.
I didn't eat a lot of salt. I drank, I craved water. Fruits and vegetables and, like, I'm telling you, went to the doctor every time I was supposed to. There early. If I was supposed to be there at 3:30, I was there at 3 o'clock. You know, those types of things. When they told me to prop my feet up, I propped my feet up. I took my vitamins. I got plenty of sleep. Like, I done everything I was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I had Landon at 39 weeks. That's considered full term, right? Because it was only 7 more days and then it'd be 40 weeks. 40 weeks, that's 10 months. Supposed to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
So had Landon, C-section, had Landon. Everything was fine. He was like 10 pounds. Okay.
Okay.
Had him on a Wednesday. We came home that Friday. He grows up, and then about 10, 11 months, I noticed a disconnect. I was like, I call his name at first, and he'd look right at me. Or we had this little song that we were singing, and I'd clap my hands, and he'd look right at me, and he'd clap his hands, you know, or just all kinds of stuff. Then all of a sudden, okay. So 12 months, 1-year-old, and I noticed he was having like a lot of ear infections, and I'm like, okay, I need to see what's going on with my baby. Mm-hmm. Make a long story short, he was on the spectrum. So basically, I went to the pediatrician with my concerns, told him what I noticed, what I observed. He done a referral. We went to Vanderbilt. They observed him. Landon thought he was playing, but they was observing him and diagnosed him with being on the spectrum.
Okay.
I had no idea what that meant. All I knew was something was wrong with my baby. Okay?
Gotcha. Yeah.
I cried. And I asked God, why? Why? I want to know why. Why did you do this to my baby? What did I do wrong? I'm a good person. I shouldn't have. Then one day, he said, it's not about you. Mm. Plain as day. Mm. It's not about you. I gave you that baby for a reason. I heard it plain as day, Tiffany. I gave you that baby for a reason. Your job is to take care of him. Mm. After that, I embraced it. Okay. It was no more why.
Okay.
So I grieved all the things that I thought he was going to do. And I accepted and embraced the things that God said he was going to do. Gotcha. We've been smooth sailing ever since. He don't care about playing football. My baby loves to build. He loves to build Legos. He loves to do things with Play-Doh. He loves to do things with electronics, computers, tablets, TVs. Like, that's his thing. If it's a sport, he may do cross country.
Okay.
He loves to swim. He don't care about baseball, basketball, football, hockey. Not his forte. It was my job to say, okay, God. Okay, it's not about me. You're right. I had to change my way of thinking. It wasn't about me. My job was to take care of him. So that's what I did. So any therapies. Because at first I was frustrated and like, I wanted Landon to be on my level. And that was not it.
Right.
He didn't need to be on my level. I had to get on his level. Yeah. Because he was verbal. And then he went from being verbal to nonverbal.
Okay. Okay.
So there's no words for him to express himself. He would point or come and get me and grab my arm to take me to what he wanted.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Or he would, or I would say, well, what do you want, baby? You know, and come show mama. Or he would bring it to me. And then as time went on and, you know, all these tests, and then he wound up having sleep apnea. So he had surgery for that, where he got his adenoids and tonsils taken out. He had tubes put in his ears to help with the sleep apnea and the drainage. That was all through Vanderbilt. And he was 2. When all this stuff happened, he was 2.
Wow.
So
young.
I was told that my baby was always going to be a year behind. Okay. I was told that my baby was not ever going to talk. The devil is a lie. He talks all the time.
All the time.
He is going to the 7th grade.
7th grade.
Always on the honor roll. Like, yes.
Yeah.
He does awesome. But it took work.
Yeah,
it took work. Like, sacrifice. He was going to therapy at first Monday, Wednesday, Friday. For an hour every time. Either before school or after school, I took him. And I'm like, how do these parents do this?
Yeah.
And it was all because a lot of the frustration came from, I don't understand him.
Okay.
All I had to do was listen, step back, observe, watch him. Repetition. When I get frustrated, count to 10. Okay. start over.
Yeah.
Be calm, because children that are on the spectrum, they feel your vibe. If you're tense and angry, frustrated, going berserk, they're going to have the same vibe.
Same vibe.
You got to think, if you can't express yourself to somebody, how are you going to feel? That's going to be difficult.
It is. Yeah.
If your stomach hurts, your head hurts, your leg hurt, you know, or whatever, you don't feel good and you can't say those things.
Right. Right. Yeah.
How would you feel?
Yeah.
Same
frustrating
thing.
Just all of
frustrated.
All of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had to take a step back and I had to be observant. And I had to learn, this is what that means. This is what that means.
Yeah.
You know, if I say, yes, patience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Straight up, like 100. Yes. You know, like you have to learn. Like I learned, Landon can't have a nap because autism affects your sleeping pattern.
Okay. Okay.
It's already difficult to go to sleep. So I need him to wind down. Like, I need him to get all that energy out. Because autism is a neurological situation. So with that being said, it's like his brain is always in overdrive 24/7.
Yeah.
Yes, it's going and going and going and going.
Overstimulation. Is
overstimulation. Kind of... You're exactly right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So when he's stimming, and you know, like when you see kids and they flap their hands or they're jumping,
yes,
bouncing,
yeah,
rocking, all those are stimming. You just let them get it out.
Yeah.
Like I can't even count how many trampolines Landon has went through. See, that was something I learned.
Yeah.
You know, okay.
Yeah.
He needs a trampoline. Like that's not a like an incentive. That's a necessity. He needed that to burn that energy.
Yeah.
As to where Lathan had to take, Lathan, you're going to take a nap. But Landon doesn't have to. He can't. Because if I let Landon take a nap now, he won't go to bed later. And Landon will be up 3, 4, and 5 o'clock in the morning.
In the morning. Yeah.
Then it throws his next day off.
Okay. Yeah.
And guess who's up with him?
You. Yeah.
So when I say life be life, but you have to use the tools to manage it for you and your family. Yes, every family is different, but that's what God gave me. He gave me him. He knew that I could handle him. He knew it. So I just had to learn to embrace it. Embrace it. Like, he's not a mistake. He's a blessing.
Oh, no, that's right. That's right to you.
He's a blessing.
Yeah.
Straight up blessing. And I'll tell anybody, I'm his biggest advocate. Like, we're getting ready to to celebrate autism awareness.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to celebrate it. And we do every year. I mean, I celebrate him every day, but, you know, that's Autism Awareness Month is in April.
Yeah.
Yes.
Special month. Yes.
We wear our
blue.
We wear our
puzzle pieces. The puzzle pieces.
Honey, yes. We got all kinds of shirts and and I love it because I get to go to the schools and, like, especially Randolph Howell, and then this year, I mean, they're doing something too, because that's where he's at, EA Cox.
Okay.
Yes.
That's amazing. Still carrying on that legacy.
I want those students to know, because they see him.
Yeah.
You know, and I want y'all to know, this is Landon. You know.
Yes.
When he's not having, when he's having a challenging day,
okay,
you know, he may not sleep well last night.
Yeah.
Or he woke up at 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's noon. 3 a.m. to noon. Yes, he's winding down. So he may, you know, not be himself.
Yeah.
So it's things like that you got to take into account.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just think, and I mean, I've seen it, Tiffany, where not necessarily with Landon, but like I've seen, like, oh, well, that kid's bad, or that
labeling them.
Don't label. Is that kid hungry?
That's right.
Has that That's kid right. eaten? That's does right that kid not feel good? Does yeah. And I'll ask Landon, does your head hurt? Does uh-huh. your stomach hurt? Does your throat hurt? Tell mama. Yeah. And yes. I have it. Look at me.
That's right.
And then we have this count system. I start okay. at five and okay. I go to one.
Okay.
And he
okay.
knows it. I'll say five, four. Okay. And he knows if I get to one, he
yeah.
has to do whatever is asked of him.
Okay.
Whatever okay. it is.
Okay.
If he doesn't, it's consequence.
Yeah, yeah.
If I say turn off the TV because it's time to go to bed and you don't turn the TV off, okay. So when you get home from school tomorrow, you don't get the TV.
Gotcha. So boundaries is important.
Yeah.
Especially as he's getting older. And I like how you don't, you know how sometimes I feel like people will be like, oh, you know, this child may get special treatment for whatever the reason is. You make yes. Landon
no.
normal as any kid. Like, you know, mm-hmm. He's not his diagnosis. Like mm-hmm. no. he has a regular life in the, yes. just like all of us. We all have individual needs, no matter
yes.
who we are, what we do.
Yes.
And I like the way you have advocated for him in a way that, you know, it's not, like you said, it's not like, oh, woe is me. I have this child who does have, you know, we have to kind of handle things and modify things in a different type of way. No, you embrace yeah. it. And yes. I wish you could be, I know you are a spokesman, but I work in childcare and yeah. We have coaches who work with children who have disabilities within the early childcare system, like yes. 0 to 5.
Yes.
And those parents are sometimes just so, they just don't even know how to start, how to deal. And you have mastered that, Tia. And you need mm-hmm. to congratulate yourself because you have got it down pat. Like, if I could have a poster parent, like, I wish we could bring parents to parent meetings when we have them. Because yeah. it's like, this is the roadmap, you know, to how me and my child has navigated, you yes. know, this autism, you know, him being on the spectrum journey.
Yes.
You know, not yes. discounted, you know, you had your own feelings in the beginning. And mm-hmm. I'm sure it's, even now, it's probably a little challenging as it goes, but you know how to handle it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's
not always peaches and cream. Uh-huh. However, you have to know.
Yeah.
Just because there is a special need.
Yeah.
Does not make your child not know what's going on.
That's right, Tia. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Yes, they do. Yeah. It's our job as parents to master, as you say, the mm-hmm. best roadmap for them. You have yes. to use the tools, like, that's what therapy's for, like speech right. therapy. And they uh-huh. wanted to teach, like you said, early intervention. So between yes. 0 to 5, okay, they wanted Landon to learn sign language.
Okay. No. Okay.
We are going to use words. I said, let me tell y'all why.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can use a little bit mm-hmm. to get him through, you know, please, thank you, stuff like that. I said, but mm-hmm. I've got to learn sign language then. If that's the case, then I've got to teach right. everybody else.
Everybody else around y'all. Yeah,
we're not doing circle. That. And then he won't ever talk. I need right him to you. Use his words. And that's exactly what I said. That's just like with IEPs. Schools yeah, will have these you. Meetings and then give parents an IEP, and then the parent thinks, well, this is what we have to do. You're the parent. You that's have right. every right to say, I don't think this will work. Let's try this instead of this, because at the end of the day, that child is going home with you. That's your mm-hmm. child. That's yes, right, they're too. With the teacher during the right. daytime. Landon is in a general education class with his own peers. He's not in special ed. Mm-mm. He may go there to take a break when he needs mm-hmm. a break. And speaking mm-hmm. of modification, yes, I have his work modified, but he yeah. does the same work.
Yeah.
They may
yeah.
get 5 worksheets to do.
Yeah.
He gets those same 5. However, mm-hmm. his is modified. He doesn't have yeah. to do all 5 at one time. Yeah. He can do 1 worksheet, take a break. That's his incentive. you do this worksheet, then you get to take a break. It's get on the computer, go get a drink of water, go, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. whatever that incentive is for him. And he mm-hmm. gets to pick the incentive. So it's like he has a little control. You know, uh-huh. like he's the one that came up with that. But it's really gotcha. Not. The ultimate goal is to get him complete your work. That's it. Yeah. I want you to learn and complete your work. So he can do a worksheet and then he can take a break and then he can do another one and then he can take a break, but he's still doing five.
Yeah.
He may not do five at one time, but one he time. Is still doing five.
Yeah.
That's called modifying. His work modified, but he does the same work. Same work.
Yeah.
And that is in his IEP.
And you took charge of it, Tia, and you stood up like, no, my child, like, this is what we're doing. Now, y'all work with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And it's early childcare. That's one thing we often say. I'm trying to make sure I quote it right, but it's, we talk about inclusivity and including all. And we have this thing about what's necessary for one is good for all. Like, you know, they all benefit. They all learn from each other. We're not about singling kids out and the labels and all of that. Like, you know, things may have to be, like you say, modified a little bit, make some adaptations to make it work. But I tell people, like, even in there, like, everybody is different, you know?
Everybody's different.
And so I appreciate you, because that was one thing I was going to ask you about, how you've navigated the education system, because that's a big piece when you do have a child that's on the spectrum, like them trying to tell you what to do is, and you are like, no, this is what we do. And I'm
thinking, attend those meetings, you know, when they have those meetings, you have to attend. You can't say, well, okay, no, I go. And I start every, he just got his new one not that long ago. And I'm a big part of it. Like, this is what we do at home. This is what we do at church. And like, they'll ask you, well, I've had teachers and I've had parents. You let him go to church every Sunday.
That's right. Wow.
And he knows how to sit down, because they don't take their kids. Mine goes.
They don't see you.
We go to church. We go to the park. We go to vacations. We go, everywhere. I don't like say that he's not a,
this is not a handicap. It's not a handicap. Right.
Not at all. Not at all. And when I say don't touch, look with your eyes, that's what I mean. Instead of saying don't touch. Because, you know, autism, they like to feel, you know, it's a texture thing. They want to think sensory. There you go.
Sensory based.
So I'll say that does not belong to you. Mm-hmm. You are not allowed to touch it with your hands, but you can look at it with your eyes.
With your eyes.
And he's even told me, I was like, Landon, don't touch it. But mama, you said I can look at it with my eyes.
He throwing it back on you?
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
He's a trip. Yes.
But you said something I was going to say something about, but hopefully it'll come back to me. Just keep talking. It'll come back to me.
Okay. Okay.
But no, that's good.
Just, I'm an older mama. I had Landon at 37 and I had Lathan at 41.
Okay, so you're okay.
Yeah. So one of the main things of why he probably, because there's really not a diagnosis for autism. However, it has been said if you're over 35, you know, you're more at risk. You're considered high risk. It's more common in African American boys. It could be genetics. But you know, all in all, none of that matters to me. That's my son. I have one position, and that is to love him, provide for him, take care of him, and make sure that he's safe and bring him up the right way. I want him to be as independent as he can be. He can write, he can talk, he takes his own bath. He puts his own clothes on. He ties his own shoes. He combs his own hair, brushes his own teeth, puts his stuff away, gets his own food. He is in a regular general ed class, but he does have an assistant. That's just for her to get him on track when he gets off track. For example, if he's sitting there in class and then she noticed that he just kind of stares off, her job is to, hey, come on, you know, but he also has a timer, you know.
Yeah.
Do this in 5 minutes, do this in 10 minutes, you know, and then his job is to turn the timer on, you know.
Gotcha.
So just things like that.
Yeah. So he's interacting with those supports that have been put in place for him to really, you know, just navigate every day, like life duties or school duties or whatever it is. Yes. And what I was going to say to you, Tia, it came to my head, consistency.
Yes.
You, I'm sure your parents, your family, the church, the education system, everybody has that consistency. And I know that's something we really talk about when we're in those early learning facilities, is the consistency for all children, really. But that consistency. And so when you mentioned timers and stuff, I'm like, ah, that's visual cues, the cues we always talk about.
Yep. Visual aids. He's got a folder, too. Yes, and when he completes one thing, he gets to move his sticker or label or whatever from not complete to complete.
Yeah, that's the end of that accomplishment. Yeah.
Yes. And then when he completes like 4 or 5 things, he gets an incentive. All of that is in his IEP. All of it.
Wow. I'm glad you're saying it to you, because that's good for people who, you know, may need to know and to empower parents, like, get on board and know what's in your child's IEP. And, you know, because they're going to keep growing. And by the time Landon's 16, he'll probably be able to get a job somewhere and be doing something, you know.
We're already working on it now.
I should have knew.
We're working on that now. And if he wants to go to college, he can too. Yes. Vanderbilt has a program. Has a program for special need children, people, young adults that you could take. And and he could do it. But if he wants to go to UT Knoxville, he could too, because he could go. but I mean, he could do that too if he wanted to, just because not only do I work for them, I'm a student there too. So he gets to reap the benefits of that too.
That's right. And them some good benefits when you work for a college.
Yes.
That's a good benefit.
Yes.
But I loved it, Tia. And even you mentioned in college, like, you already see this for your child. Like, and then, you know, in the beginning, you was telling me how he likes to build. And when you were saying all this stuff, I'm thinking architect. Like, I'm thinking all these different career fields that I'm like, Landon could completely have with the route you are going, you know, with him growing up and really becoming a young man, essentially. Yes. I can't believe he's as old as he is now.
I know.
But he's getting there. Flies. And you have prepared him. Like, you are preparing him. And when I've seen y'all out a few times. Landon's very independent, like very independent, you know, and I think that's something to be applauded for sure.
Thank you.
For sure.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing all this, T. I know we could go on and on about Landon and about your parenting, but I mean, both of your boys, I mean, you can just, when you see children and you see how well behaved they are, you see, like you say, the manners, the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, all of that. All of that is through the tutelage of them being raised by good people, good parents, good grandparents. And it really shows community more than anything. And so that's amazing. I think you tied everything I really had for you up in a bow. I'm going to ask you one more question, then we're going to wrap
up.
Do you know, for parents, do they have like support groups for parents who, you know, have children that may be on the spectrum or maybe dealing with Down syndrome? I mean, there's so many, you know, things. Do they have support groups like that around here or Nashville or anywhere?
They do. You, I will tell you, mostly you have to get online and research. That's what I did. They do have some, like, on platforms, like social media platforms, Facebook and Instagram and all those things. And I am a part of some of them, but there is one website that I want to say. It is called findhelp.org. That has all types of resources, and they have things in there too. Autism Speaks is a good one. They have all types of things too, but if people would just go to Google, type in autism support, and put it in your area, you should be able to find something that is for you and your family.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I definitely wanted to mention that to you. And, the two websites you just mentioned, Autism Speaks and findhelp.org, we can link that in the description of this video just so people have it.
Okay, yes.
For just resources, you know. So I appreciate you for mentioning both of those.
Okay,
so Tia, as we wrap, as you know, Quinn was all into music. That was like his passion. So I ask everybody that comes on my episodes, if you could be a song, be your life story, what would it be and why?
Gracefully Broken by Tasha Cobbs. Because that would be my song. And why is because although I've been through a lot, trials, hurt, pain, ups, downs, ins, outs, I still know that all of that, good, the bad, the ugly, the indifferent, all of that, I'm still covered, I'm still protected, and I still have a purpose because I am a child of the Creator of all things good. I keep it moving forward. I try my best to stay positive because I already know the negative side. Yeah. I know what that is. Yeah, that doesn't feel good to me. That makes me sad. That makes me confused. That makes me feel less than. I know I'm somebody because my Lord and Savior said so. So I just feel like gracefully broken. That is, if you look up gracefully broken,
I'm going to do
that
it.
That is
when I
me.
Get off.
Look it up.
Okay.
Look
I'm going to look it up when I get off of here. I definitely am.
Look up gracefully broken. And it is everything that I just said. But still come out on top, regardless.
Still come out on top. Wow.
Still come out on top.
I'm going to have to check that out. I feel like I've seen it before. I don't know if I've listened to it. You know,
Grace
Quinn had the collection of all the songs. And so
you
I
done heard it.
My own. So I bet I've heard it. But
you've
I will have
it.
To look that up to you. I, like,
you've heard
thank
it.
You. Thank you
You're
for
welcome.
Introducing me to that song that I may not like. So once I hit listen, I'll probably catch on and be like, yep, that's it.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate that, Tia. I feel like we could do a part two maybe later, a couple of months.
Because
this is just the surface, scratching the surface of our conversation, because I feel like there's so much more that I want to like ask you now that you loaded me with all that. I want a part two at some point. So
you just let me know. I appreciate it. I have really enjoyed this, and it is just a blessing to be able to spend this time with you and just to speak on my journey and how good God is to me and my family. And I feel honored. You know, people don't really ask you like how you really feel, you know, about things and life. Yeah. And they're like, oh, well, whatever, you know, but for you to just invite me to be here on your platform. And I'm going to tell you are doing great things with this platform.
Thank you.
I have to applaud you because this is awesome. And for you to invite people and just for them to be able to share. And not only is this a place to help other people, but it's to help the people that's sharing too, because
yes, it is.
I feel light. Like I feel like a load.
It's
been lifted off of me.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I try to create safe, you know, spaces and a safe space rather, you know, for people to share their story, and you know, it's helping others. It's helping us all. Like it's really, I call it soul work.
Yes.
Because we can get in the hustle and bustle of everything else. You know, who's the most popping? Who's the most this and that? But yes. I'm concerned about your soul because I'm concerned about my own soul at this particular point in my life. So it's about just pouring into each other, which pours into ourselves. And so that's really what my goal was in having this whole, you know, platform to let it be what Quinn led by, like helping people, putting people in touch with resources and all that. So really just carrying on his legacy, but in my own way in this. So
and you're doing a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. Keep doing it. I'm telling you, sister, keep doing it.
I will. Yes. Everybody tells me that. So I'm like, I know this guy speaking. Like, keep it going. Is. Even on them tough days, keep going. Yes. Keep going. Well, T, I want to ask you, is there anything you want to promote? I know we've talked a lot about autism. We have the website, so I'm going to link. Anything else you have going on that you want to promote? The boys have going on. This is always like offering up this time as well.
Okay, so if there's any parents that would like for their child to be a part of Cub Scouts, they can reach out to me and I can get them linked up with that because that's something, you know, that we do. Also, if there's children that their kids want to play softball, it's laid back. It's not, I mean, it's competitive, but it's laid back. You know what I'm saying? Where the kids can have fun. They can reach out to me for that. I'd be glad to do that too. If you know anybody in the Williamson, Hickman, Perry, Lewis area that has been ordered by the court to pay child support, my position as a coordinator is to advocate, support, and assist. If you're in those areas, I can be your coordinator to help you live a self-sufficient life and get back on track. Also, with autism, if anyone wants to reach out to me just for me to listen or get, you know, give advice on what I've done with my son, I'm willing to do that. If you are looking for a church home, you are more than welcome to come to my church home, which is Grace United. It is on East 8th Street, 416 East 8th Street with Pastor Carrie Dwayne James. We will be so glad to accept you with open arms.
And then, Tia, y'all have the Nashville location, too. Is it?
And we do have it. Yep, we have Nashville location. It is at 4033 Dickerson Pike, Nashville, Tennessee. So any of those things. And again, if you need any type of resource from home, food, clothes, financial, any of those things, go to findhelp.org and you put your zip code in. Doesn't matter where you live. It's based off of a radius. It may not be in your specific county or town, but they can get you to the closest of where you live. If you want to support autism, always, always support Autism Speaks. If you are wanting to do something in the month of April for Autism Awareness, reach out to me. I'm willing.
Awesome. Well, sounds good. You got a lot going on, Tia. That's good.
Yeah, so, but it's all good.
It's easy, but it's good.
But everything that I'm a that part amazing. Of, it is a part of my life. Like, it has some connection to my life. So, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for sharing so much today. I know it takes a lot to bare your soul, but I really appreciate it to you. I appreciate you. Well, I end every episode, Tia, with saying all is well. That was one thing Quinn used to say is all is well. So I'm going to end it there. And we hope to see you guys back in 2 weeks with our next episode. Yeah. Thank you so much, Tia Alderson, for being on. And I hope you guys have a really good week. Top of the Sunday, top of the week. So have a good week. Yes. And we'll see y'all next in 2 weeks. Have a good one. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Welcome. We hope that today's episode has encouraged you and helped to identify strategies to navigate your grief and begin the process of moving forward in life. Grief Tribe, Healing Vibes. What were some key takeaways from today's episode? Drop a comment below and remember to like, follow, and subscribe.